Mr. Faruja.
Oh, what's up, bro?
How are you this evening?
I'm very good. How are you?
All right, guys. Just wanted to take a minute and welcome everybody to the call tonight. This is Ryan McGinn with MuscleBuildingDeathmatch.com, and tonight we have a really, really awesome call. We got Jason Faruja. He's an author of Muscle Gaining Secrets, Triple Threat Muscle, Fit to Fight, numerous really, really good blog and articles all over the internet. And we also have, and he's going against Elliot Hulse, who is author of Lean Hyper Muscle. What's your new thing called, Elliot? I don't remember.
Strength and Wisdom Tribe.
Strength and Wisdom Tribe. And he's got tons of other awesome videos and blog posts all over the internet. And most everybody on the call, I should know who these two guys are because they signed up from everybody's list. And I talk about you guys all the time. So we'll save the introduction and get right to the stuff. Instead of the normal introduction, guys, Jason, we'll go ahead and start with you. Maybe just why do you do what you do right now? Why are you still training people? Why do you still make, you know, kick-ass products? And just give us a little bit about, you know, the why.
It's what I love to do, you know. Funny, Ellie and I were actually discussing this via email today, and we both just really like helping guys get strong, you know. He's a little bit more into the spiritual side than I am, but that is my passion in life. I love helping guys get strong, first and foremost. It's what I think about at night. It keeps me up, you know, thinking of new ways, thinking of different systems. So I know that, you know, I know when I'm up looking at the alarm clock at 4 a.m., I know that this is what I'm meant to do because it is my biggest obsession. I think about it 24 hours a day. And you know, to make a living doing what you love and what you're obsessed with and what would be your hobby anyway is a great thing. I can't think of you know, a better job. So
definitely
why I do totally what I do.
Totally agree. Elliot, how about you? Where's the why?
Essentially, it's who I am. I mean, like, a bird has to sing its song. Like, it can't friggin' bark or chase things down and bite them. It's a bird. It has to sit on its tree and sing. That's essentially what I do. I'm in touch with my nature. It's exactly what I'm designed to do. You know, we're each designed to do a particular, perform a particular service, and this is mine. I don't know if it's a form of my conditioning or genetics, or a combination of both, I'm pretty sure it is. But it's the only thing that I could do and live my life with integrity. You know, like Jason says, I'm obsessed. It's all I can think about. All I can think about is strength and wisdom. And those are two things that I talk about endlessly. You're with me almost every freaking day for hours on end. I can't think about anything else. Those are the only things that light my fire. And for me to do anything else would be like outside of my nature. It wouldn't make any sense.
That is true. And he is correct. He does talk about this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and every time I'm with him. So First question I got for you guys tonight, Ellie, you can go ahead and start this one out, is why do you think most people's programs fail? You know, when they start out on, you know, when they start working out or training or lifting weights, why do you think they don't really see the results they want? What do you think is the biggest culprit there?
Well, it's the same exact reason why people fail at anything, and it's a lack of clarity. Most people don't know what the hell they want. You know, there are so many different fitness programs and ideas and things that you can get involved with. That is confusing. We live in a day and age of information. And if you don't make it very clear to yourself what you are after, what exactly you're doing, without getting distracted by a new email with something that just came out or a commercial or what the trainer at your gym told you, if you could get very clear about what your heart's desire is, you're going to find it much easier to fulfill any goal. After that is your commitment to that vision, to that goal. We live in a day and time, again, where there is such a lack of commitment to absolutely everything. There was a time when a man's handshake meant something. That's because in his heart he understood how to commit, and today we can't even commit to ourselves. So if you hear children in the background and singing, it's my children playing with stuff. Quite a bit. So commitment and then discipline. Clarity, commitment, and discipline. People do not have any discipline these days. So the reason why you're failing with your muscle-building program or whatever exercise program that you adopted is the same reason why you failed anything else. It's a pattern. It's a habit of failure. It's not I've got the wrong program or I'm genetically at a disposition. All those things are circumstances that you can adjust to. But if you make it very clear to yourself what you're after, and if you learn how to commit and discipline yourself to do what you have to do, whether you feel like it or not, day in and day out, I don't care if it's muscle building or money making, whatever it is that you want, you're going to achieve. But those principles have to be examined and met before you even approach trying to reach anything worthwhile.
Awesome. And Jason, how do you feel about that? Why do you think people with programs fail?
Well, I'm not going to repeat what he said because I agree with everything he said. That's what I would have said as well. So I'll get a little bit more specific. I think programs fail because, like you said, everyone jumps from one thing to the other. I mean, I get questions a lot of times from guys who say, what's the best exercise to improve my squat? I say, what the fuck? Like, you've been training for a year. The squat is, you're not Chuck Vogelpool. The squat, you squat 52 weeks a year. I still squat 52 weeks a year. Like, I don't need box squats and reverse band squats and all that shit because I'm not Chuck Vogelpool. So pick a few exercises, do them 52 weeks a year, and you will get stronger on them and you'll get better. You know, add in a handful of, well, maybe more than a handful. You really want to have a handful of big exercises that you measure your progress on, you know, a clean squat, bench, dead. And pick, maybe a couple dozen assistance exercises that you rotate in and out, and those will always be, they'll be changing based on your weaknesses and your imbalances, which are always changing anyway. So, you know, that kind of stuff, more general kind of stuff is a lot of people tend to overtrain, do too much volume, train for too long, go to the gym too many days a week. I don't think you should use machines. A lot of people use machines. A lot of people do body part splits. All that kind of stuff, you know?
Gotcha. Well, this is going to lead us in. I mean, it's kind of going to lead us to the next question. What are you always get asked all the time, I know, everybody, it's what everybody wants to know. What are your favorite exercises? Well, we'll keep you going, Jason. What's your favorite exercise for chest, back, legs, and arms? How do you answer that if somebody asks that to you?
Yeah, for chest, I mean, the bench press technically, if you do it properly, it's going to work your tris, lats, and front delts probably as much or more than your chest. But it's a great exercise. I mean, it's a little bit of a risky exercise. If you want to just strictly target your pec, you've got to kind of consider the function of the pec, which is to draw the arms across the body. So an exercise that I like that does that is if you take the blast straps and you got to attach them, you got to hook them up kind of wide for this to work. And it's kind of a press fly combo. So attach them like either side of the top of the power rack, then you do a press-fly combo. When they're wide like that, that forces you to pull more while you're pressing. So that's a great exercise. For back, always you're going to go with deads and shins, nothing better than that. Legs, squats always. And then, you know, if you're strong, you've been training for a while, glute ham is an awesome exercise. Single-leg squats, if you can do them, are great. But squats first and foremost. If most people just squatted 52 weeks a year, you know, deload every four. If you're a little more advanced, deload every fourth week. You really don't need much more than that for legs and some sprints. And for arms, I don't do a lot of direct arm work, but I would do dips definitely. Close grip 3 or 4 board press. And for biceps, just a regular dumbbell curl.
Awesome, Elliot. How about you, man? Favorite exercise?
Favorite exercises? Well, I'm going to navigate around that question like I normally do. Because I mean, it's kind of like the wrong question. But the way I'm going to approach this is what I love to do, what I enjoy doing. And I know you're the same way because you typically train with me, Ryan. I like picking exercises and rep set parameters that beat the crap out of me, that just make me work very, very, very hard. Now, not everybody would agree with this. And maybe I'm a sadist, but I'm telling you exactly how I train. And I think a part of the reason why I train this hard, the reason why I would pick like a clean and press obviously you guys know I'm a professional strongman, so crazy shit like lifting stones or carrying the yoke like we did the other day and you almost passed out and puked in the middle of the street.
Well,
the reason why this stuff is attractive to me is because it forces you and it forces me to like transcend the body, to be stronger than the body. You get to a point, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, where your mind literally says, fuck you, I'm just not going to do anymore. I can't. And starts whining and giving up. But your body can continue to go. So when we're pushing the prowler for sets of 10 with 245 plates on it for 60 yards down and back, and we're dying, we're passing out, our legs feel like they're swollen with blood and want to pop off, then I'm in my glory. Then I know that I'm gaining not just muscle, not just athleticism and conditioning, but I'm growing. I'm just becoming stronger all around in every facet and every way. And if you have to ask Elliot Hulse what his favorite exercise to do, his favorite thing to do, that's it. When it comes to building specific muscles and the bench, the squat, and the deadlift, like Jason said, those are principles, those are fundamentals. If you're not doing those and you're doing a lot of other crap, then you're basically eating a lot of icing with no cake. You're putting on your tie with no suit. You're messing around with the details by doing a lot of little BS exercises, single joint exercises, and skipping the big ones like the squat and the deadlift, and you're fooling yourself, and you're absolutely not going to get the results you're looking for.
Awesome. Jason, you got anything you want to add to that? Because I know that I've seen a lot of your videos, and I know you guys probably train the same exact way in Jersey to the point where people pass out and can't go no more.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with what he said. I like to do the same thing. I'm guilty of stupid decisions all the time. You know, once the intensity kicks in, testosterone levels get jacked up, I do stupid shit because I love it. Like he said, unfortunately, it results in me getting injured more often than I would like. But, you know, that's part of the experience. It's part of the fun. You know, you got to push yourself. You got to challenge yourself. That's why I train. I know a lot of guys train to get girls and whatnot, and that's the last thing that's ever been on my mind. I train to challenge myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, to challenge my training partners. But first and foremost, it's just to challenge myself, you know.
Awesome. Well, this will take us to the next question. Jason, we'll stay on with you because I know you just wrote a product about this. Why do you think people should train like athletes and not regular bodybuilders?
I think because if you train like an athlete, when I say train like an athlete, that means that you have specific, tangible goals. First and foremost, you're going to train for strength, which a lot of people don't train for strength. And they should. I mean, I for example, I've seen 45-year-old ladies that are way overweight, and they go to the gym and try to do weight loss workouts where they're doing swings and ropes and whatever the hell they're doing. And I know for a fact that 180-pound lady will never see 179. I just know, unless they're dieting like a pre-contest bodybuilder, I just know that. But for some reason, if she trained for strength, if she did, as crazy as it sounds, she trained for strength and just did a bench, squat, and dead 3 days a week, I got a feeling she might make some progress because she would build some muscle, stimulate her metabolism, and burn some calories. But the average guy does not train for strength. They go to the gym, they do the same workout, they bench 225 every Monday, every week of the year, year after year. So if you train for strength, you have tangible goals. Your bicep measurement isn't going to go up every single week, or your waist isn't going to go down every single workout. But you can set a PR at every workout on something. You can jump onto a higher box. You can squat more. And that's exciting, so you could see progress from week to week, you know. Another aspect of training like an athlete is, you know, not only the focus on strength, like, you know, like squats, deads, power, jumps, stuff like that, is also incorporating more mobility work, dynamic flexibility, anything you can do to achieve or maintain optimal tissue health. And that's critically important, especially as you get older, because we lose that. Mobility is something that is probably the first thing that we lose as we age. So if you want to maintain it, you have to train it. So, and most people don't do that. You know, they go to Gold's, they do the machine circuit, they hop on a cardio machine, and your mobility is just rapidly, you know, disappearing. So, for all those reasons. So, I mean, it's probably more, but those are the basic ones right there.
How important do you feel, I mean, going back on the goal portion of it, I know for myself, like, if I'm not training for something, half the time I can't even get out there and train. But what do you think? Do you think people fail at that? You know, they just not knowing how to set proper goals? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to know how to set goals and, you know, realistic goals and achieve them. Just small goal, one small goal after another. So I like to set small goals and long-term goals. Having said that, it is nice once in a while, if you're as intense in the gym as, you know, I am and Elliot is, it is nice to have a phase, you know, maybe for 2-3 weeks out of the year where you don't have any goals, because I find that I do get burnt out because I could be really intense and driven and hard on myself. So I do like to take a couple weeks out of the year where I just go in, just mess around, just do some stupid shit, and, you know, just try some new exercise and just do a lot of body weight stuff. It's kind of nice mentally. It's refreshing. And then once you get back in and hit it hard again, you really make some great gains.
Awesome. Elliot, why do you think people should train like athletes?
Obviously, I agree with everything that Jason's saying, and I just want to say something about that real quick. Basically, everything that Jason and I are going to say are, I know you call this a battle, but we both understand principles, so there's not much that he's going to say or I'm going to say that's much different. But what I can do is take it one step deeper with regard to athleticism. Hang on 1 second. She's not out there, babe. I'm babysitting tonight, just so you guys know. By the way,
Elliot has
help.
A small army of children.
Yeah, it's part of my responsibility here. So why do we have to train like athletes? Because we are designed like athletes. You know, the way we've evolved as a species, as human beings, if you look at, like, the most rudimentary form of life, it's a cell. And it, like food comes to it. It doesn't really move around, doesn't go anywhere. Wherever it is, like, its environment kind of, like, passes food by. But as we've evolved, as human beings grew arms and legs, as we became mobile, the main purpose of our ability to move was to get food. So we had to run, sprint, jump on things, stab it with a sharp rock, smash its head open with boulders and throw it over our shoulder and drag it home and cut it open. And then I'm sure eating all that raw meat was probably a task in itself. Plus you were like Jason and you're just like picking stuff from trees and stuff. It'd be a lot easier. but the meat eaters, we had to break our asses because we had to chase things down, beat it open, and eat it. So the reason why we've got these muscles is so that we can do that, so that we can build shelter. This is like this is primordial man. This is the root of who we are. I don't know if you guys realize, but everything that I do goes back to our root. And the root of our physical structure is so that we can survive in the wild. Now, today we live in a situation where you can go to the supermarket and pick up some just nasty dead food and bring it home in your minivan and cook it up and just sit your fat ass down like you've been sitting all day long and stuff yourself full of calories that you're probably not going to use anyway. And then we get up afterwards and we decide to walk a little bit on a treadmill or play with the machines at the gym. So to train like an athlete isn't anything more than doing what you're designed to do. And if everything is utilized for its function, I think Jay said something like, if you don't train it, you lose it or something like that. If you're not driving your car, it's going to stop running. If you don't turn on appliances, they just stop running. If you don't use your body for what it's designed to be used for, it doesn't function properly. I've got this theory that a part of the reason why as we age or certain people develop physical ailments or diseases is simply because nature is saying, look, you're not using this, so you're probably not very useful, so I'm going to start taking these things away from you. So your ability to digest properly goes away. Your ability to think properly goes away, because most people don't think. Your ability to move properly goes away, because you don't move. And it just brings us closer and closer to our death, which essentially means it's very obvious that you're living a life well below your potential, and there's really no reason for you any longer, so you get sick and sad and depressed and screwed up. There you have it.
Awesome. All right. Next question. Jason, what should people look for when starting to join a gym, or if they're at a gym they're unhappy with? What advice can you give people? What should be the key factors in their decision?
Squat rack? I'll explain a little. Green squat racks? Basically, if you're looking at to find a well-equipped gym, most public gyms aren't. It's going to be a test, but I wasn't joking. Squat racks, heavy dumbbells. If there's any type of strongman or dinosaur kind of stuff there, of course, that's a huge plus. You'd probably want to check the signs and those rules, make sure it's not one of those kind of fancy places where the sirens go off if you drop weights or use chalk or deadlift or anything like that. But I would recommend, I mean, I would go insane if I was at one of those gyms. If they pulled that shit when I was deadlifting, I would frisbee a 45 through the wall. So I would recommend saving your money and getting a garage gym, because there's not going to be a lot of gyms like Elliot's or like mine where you can do that kind of stuff. And if that's how you want to train and you're going out of your mind at Bally's, I would start saving money, get dumbbells, get a power rack at home. That's all you really need is a bar, dumbbells, power rack, chin-up bar, dip bars, and then, you know, just slowly add to it. I mean, you can get a lot of stuff used on Craigslist. You know, get a couple of your buddies, get over there. That's what I would recommend to most people if they don't have access to a gym like we have. I think you would get a lot better results, and you'd enjoy it a lot more than going to, you know, to one of those kind of fancy public gyms. And, again, it can be done for cheaper than you think. You don't need a ton of stuff. And, you know, like I said, get a couple buddies, they'll chip in, get stuff on Craigslist. I would definitely do that.
Definitely. Elliot, what about you? What should somebody look for when joining a gym?
So, first of all, absolutely 100% agree with everything Jason said. But I want to make a statement about commercial gyms. Lies don't last. They don't. And commercial gyms are lies. They're not places where they are actually helping you to achieve fitness. They're not. Their objective is not to get you stronger, to help you build muscle, or to get you fit. They're designed to sell memberships. That's it. So they're going to do anything that they can to pander or cater to the lowest common denominator. That way they can get as many memberships as possible. They're not in the business of getting you stronger or leaner or building muscles. So the reason why I started with the lies don't last is because, from what I understand, these places are going out of business at an alarming rate, faster than ever before. They built up in the 90s, well, when everyone was spending money on all types of shit anyway. And now when everyone's being exposed, one of the first lies to go amongst all the others are these large fitness gyms. So what you are seeing are the popping up of a lot of gyms that are similar to Jason's gym, to my gym. We've got a lot of these CrossFit gyms going up. Our buddy Zach Evanesh is teaching a lot of people how to open their own underground gyms. So I would, exactly like Jason said, and it all depends on what you want and what you're willing to do. It always boils down to that. But if it's too much for you to either travel up to an hour if you have to find a gym that is resourceful, that is going to support you in the fashion that Jason and I do, and then on top of that, have a coach there. I really don't think it's possible. You know, every time that I've been successful in anything that I do, I've had mentors and I've had coaches. Obviously, you've read Muscle Gain Secrets and Lean Hybrid Muscle. You've read these books. You can see us in videos and stuff. But there's nothing like being with a coach and then the environment that's associated with having other people working toward their goals also. That's a big part of the reason why I do group training. Besides the fact that it's a good business model, everyone works a lot harder because they see one guy doing something, so they're like, well, I got to try it. I got to do that. And they one-up one another. And that's even for older guys. I have lots of guys in their 50s and late 40s that train in my gym, and they break their asses, especially when younger guys come in, because they want to show how tough they are. And you can't reproduce that with a Bowflex. You can't reproduce that at Bally's. It just does not happen. So if you can travel up to an hour to go to a place like Jason's or mine, or find a CrossFit gym or underground gym or just a garage, even these powerlifting gyms, go to it. Just make it that type of a commitment if you want it that badly. And if you don't have anything, I mean, if you're in the middle of Wyoming or, I don't know, somewhere where you can't get access to a gym like that within an hour, then do exactly as Jason says. You've got to design your own gym. You're not going to be able to train to the capacity that you need to in one of these lies, these houses of lies. They're not designed to help you. So get a barbell set, really easy. It's like you could get one for like $150 at some of these places at Walmart with just a couple weight plates. You can try, if you don't have a garage, just leave your weights outside. I mean, you watch those videos. Well, I've never been to South Central LA, but I've watched videos and movies where the guys are like bench pressing outside on their porch and stuff, and it's like, those guys are badass. Oh, yeah, baby. Anyway, so that's what you're gonna have to do. Definitely get your hands on stuff like that.
Awesome, good stuff. Next question we got, Jason. We'll go back to you. Why do you think people buy supplements instead of just relying on hard work? What's your take on that?
I missed the end of that there.
Oh, so why do you think people rely solely on supplements and they're always looking for the magic pill instead of just relying on hard work?
I'm going to assume because they don't like hard work. I'll never forget. I think it was the mid-90s, and I was at a seminar in New York with Mauro Di Pasquale, and he said if a supplement gives you greater than 5% increase or results, you know, improvement in your results, it's a drug. That basically, that means if you, let's say in 16 weeks, you gain 20 pounds without any supplement, the best supplement, and I think Dr. Di Pasquale is a smart guy. He's saying that you're going to gain 21 pounds. Now, to spend that much money for an extra pound, to me, doesn't seem worth it. I mean, guys, you know, in 16 weeks, you spend a lot of money on supplements. The reason, obviously, number one, like I said, they just don't want hard work. They want the magic bullet. Everyone wants results, you know, as fast as humanly possible. I do. We all do. But, you know, younger, more naive guys, they're gonna fall prey to the lies, to the marketing, and it's just you wouldn't believe how many high school kids I have come in and say, oh, you know, my buddy's taking NO2 and he gained 10 pounds this month, or he gained 20 pounds, and you know, the kids all believe this kind of stuff, but. You know, we all know that there is no supplement that can produce those kinds of results. And what happens a lot of times with those kids is they're getting a placebo effect. You know, they take something, they think it's going to work, so they train harder and they eat more. But I really think for supplements, I'm real basic, like I am with training. I just like a protein powder, a post-workout shake, creatine, some essential fatty acid, maybe some vitamin D, E, zinc, magnesium, nothing fancy. And you can get away with not taking any of that. You know, none of it's going to make a huge difference. Some of the stuff I like to take is more for overall health than performance enhancement. But basically, it comes down to diet and hard work and, you know, proper training first and foremost.
Awesome. And what was the supplements that you – what basic supplements do you recommend, Jason? I know you just kind of ran over that a little bit, but
– I like a post-workout shake, definitely, protein powder. Essential fats, and then creatine's always good. You know, some people get nothing out of it. I get nothing out of it, but I do know I have some guys that do get some decent results from it. And then I do like actually vitamin D, vitamin E. I like the Toco 8 vitamin D is good stuff, and I like zinc and magnesium.
Awesome. Ellie, how about you, man? Why do you – this is going to cause a rant, I'm sure. Why do you think people rely on supplements instead of just working hard?
Well, obviously, Jason hit it on the head when he first said, like, they're lazy, they just don't want to work hard. That's an easy way to look at it, and he's 100% correct. But we've got to be very careful about the conditioning that we're receiving from the television, from newspaper and magazine ads, because for the most part, we're all pretty impressionable. And especially when we're, like, in a resourceful position, we're reading, and we've been caught up in a sales letter, and it looks like an article, and there are these big numbers on it, and you see this skinny dude, and all of a sudden he turns into a massive, gigantic monster over 90 days. It's very easy to be hypnotized by that. I mean, I remember being 14, and the exact same thing coming over me, believing that this could happen because I'm reading these advertorials. I mean, I didn't even realize I was being tricked at the time, and some of you who are listening to this might not even realize that a lot of the so-called articles in these magazines that are selling you these things are not really articles. Those are called advertorials, or I think there's another name for it, but essentially it's an advertisement masked in some sort of scientific breakthrough. And when you read it and you're taken down a course, you're taken down a path by which now you are hypnotized and you need to go to this website or you need to call this number or you need to go to Vitamin Shop and buy this right now. So, I mean, as experience takes over and as you go through life and you start realizing that, shit, half the stuff that I'm told that I need or that's going to support me is garbage, it's snake oil. It's no different than if you look at like some of the old ads from like the 1800s, where they were literally selling snake oil to people, and you'd laugh at it now. It'd be interesting to take a look like 100 years from now at all the shit that we'd laugh about ourselves that we're doing right now, because it's just as silly as when they were trying to sell you like orangutan balls because it'd make your dick bigger. There's no different. Take this junk that
work.
We found somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you my secret. So they're going to take a look 100 years from now and be like, these guys were stupid. How ignorant or just gullible were we to believe that taking this pill that has almost like a pharmaceutical name that sounds a little bit like a steroid, but it really isn't, is going to give you some tremendous effect where you're going to turn into a gorilla in 90 days. It's laughable. So I think that a big part of it has to do with the way we're conditioned in a commercialized society.
Awesome. Now, I know your answers, but people on the call don't. What supplements do you recommend, Elliot? What are your basic supplements that you tell people to start on?
I'm a lot like Jason, and I was more so in the past. I mean, lately, I really haven't been taking much of anything, but fish oil, or I started out with cod liver oil, always a staple in my diet. My children take it because it helps develop the nervous system and the brain. My wife takes it, and she's pregnant now and nursing. I think she's always pregnant, so she'll always be taking it. And it's just like a staple in our diet. We don't even consider it a supplement. It's like just like a part of the food. So that has always been a staple. When I'm on the ball, I like taking a green supplement. I know I don't eat nearly as many vegetables as I do that I should. Although I do eat a lot, but I take a green supplement called Living Fuel. And then beyond that, for muscle building, I take a basic whey supplement. I've talked about that in the past, and I usually put a little bit of fiber and fat in it also. And that basically covers it. Maybe some vitamin C when I'm trying to recover, if I'm really training super hard or I've got an injury like I do now. But beyond that, I really don't have that much. I don't recommend that much. Creatine works real well. Start pulling them out as I remember, but creatine works really well for me. I'm one of those guys that I take creatine and it's like, wow, 10 pounds, and I added 20 pounds to my bench press in 2 weeks. It's sort of magical, but I can't tell you. I don't know why. This shit just works for me, and I've seen it work for a few people, but like Jason says, it doesn't work for everybody. And as far as performance enhancement, I think that covers it.
Awesome. All right. Well, I know we talked about this before as far as, we agree that everybody should squat. But, Jason, is there any circumstances that you would ever not recommend a back squat for somebody? And, have you seen that before? Just have somebody that's just not good at them? Like, what kind of program or would you put somebody like that on?
Believe it or not, I think that more people can't squat than can squat. I mean, I see it all the time. We squat every Wednesday, 52 weeks a year at the gym, but there are a number of people who don't squat. There are a number of people who do squat and probably shouldn't. If you're just interested in optimal health and optimal joint health and whatnot, if you have any sort of imbalance, if one hip is higher than the other, and one hamstring's tighter than the other, squatting is going to fuck you up. But we do it anyway. I have a lot of those issues. I do it anyway, so... If it's a bad imbalance, someone's going to get hurt or they don't have the mobility or flexibility to maintain the heart down all the way. I wouldn't squat heavy. I'll take that back. A lot of guys, when they first start out, it's funny, every year the high school kids seem to be tighter and tighter. They can't get down into a squat without holding. Their spine looks like a question mark, And I guess that's because they just sit around and play video games or whatever. But guys like that, they obviously shouldn't be squatting heavy. So we'll do a lot of single leg stuff at first, working on a lot of mobility and dynamic flexibility. And then I'll have them squat 3 days a week, light, just working the form, working on getting them down. Guys that have had serious knee injuries or spine injuries in the past, they can't always squat. One of my best guys in the gym, he's also one of my closest friends, he's 47. He was an athlete his whole life and has a lot of injuries that just really prevent him from squatting. So he's pretty miserable every Wednesday when we're all squatting and he's doing glute hams and step ups and whatnot. But he, you know, he's tried from time to time. He'll try a couple times a year and then his back is fucked. So it's just not worth it. But for the most part, everyone should squat if you can, you know. And if you can't, you know, great exercise are sprints. If you can't squat, I think you got to have a glute ham. Awesome exercise to do. And then just learn a wide variety of single leg stuff, pistols, single leg squats, single leg deads, step ups, you know, a number of things like that, and then get a prowler or a sled, definitely.
What's your take on a guy like Mike Boyle who tells everybody that they don't back squat, only front squat?
Well, I wrote an article about that. I don't agree with that at all. The back squat, I think if you can do it, it could be the only exercise you ever need. If you had to pick one, that would probably be it. For an athlete, definitely probably the only exercise you would ever need. There's no way in hell you're going to get more out of split squats or single leg glute bridges or anything like that. Not that those are bad exercises, but if you're going bang for your buck and, you know, usually don't have a lot of time with athletes, you have to back squat. Guys get tested on them, first of all, so you're gonna look like I'm gonna look like a shithead if a kid show up at camp and they can only squat 135. So you have to improve the back squat no matter what. And a lot of times guys are going back to a school where the strength coach isn't smart enough to know that maybe this kid shouldn't be squatting. So if this kid has issues where he shouldn't be squatting, I still have to work around that somehow over the summer and get him in there, you know, looking good when he goes back to camp and looking like he worked hard over the summer. You know, guys like Elliot and myself are always in a weird situation where we're not always doing what's optimal. You're kind of preparing someone for tests the day they go back to camp, which I don't always agree with, but, you know, it's what you got to do when someone hires you or someone comes to your gym. But the front squats, again, like Mike said, I don't agree with that for so many reasons. Most people don't like front squatting. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. It hurts your wrists. It hurts your elbows. If your arms are bigger than 13 inches, it sucks. So, I mean, that's my opinion. And everyone that I know and that I've ever trained gets excited about back squatting. Front squatting is just kind of annoying, to me at least. I guess because I think that, I think I've kind of bred that opinion in my gym. But that's pretty much my take on that.
What about you, Elliot? I know I've seen people come in that just suck at squatting. Give everybody on the line, you know, what do you do if you think somebody can't squat?
You're asking what I should do if I think someone can't squat?
Yeah.
I make them squat. I find a way. You know, you've watched me train so many athletes. And you remember Drayden, he's a high school football player, tight as a drum. And during warm-ups, we have him do, like, overhead squats, just with their hands behind their head. And, I mean, the kid's knees were buckling in, his back was rounding over. I think Jason said a question mark, and that's exactly what he looked like. It was just terrible. And I guess I had a lot of time on my hands, but I made it my project. And I figured out a few different, like, how to shortcut this. But I made it my project to figure out how I can get this freaking kid to squat. And we had to do a lot of corrective crap. Every day he came in, he had to foam roll his ankles. You'd be surprised at how many people's squats are fucked up because of their ankles. Your ankles are tight. Your calves are tight. Your soleus down by your Achilles tendon. Those muscles are really, really locked up on a lot of people, and that's part of the reason why they end up on their toes when they squat. So we ended up doing a lot of foam rolling there and stretching that out. Turns out his quads are really weak, so we do like a lot of isolation work on his quads. And then I force him into a proper squat, a lot of times even overhead, the bar over his head, and just let him just suffer in a body weight squat position. Just stay there so your nervous system just ingrains that into your brain. This is the way you're supposed to move. And it's taking some time, but he's doing incredibly. It's just a matter of chunking the movement down, figuring out, okay, where in this movement? Is it in the knee bend? Is it in the ankle bend? Is it in the extension of the hips or the flexion of the hips? Where are you screwing this thing up? And then just doing exercises and stretches to correct that one particular area. I'm just not satisfied with not being able to do something. I guess it's something that I do to myself, and then I just don't accept it when someone can't do something. It's like, no, you don't have the resources to do it yet. You just don't know how to do it yet. And if you have the time, because I know Jason and I, we work with like groups of athletes at times. It's like, shit, I just don't have the time for you, kids. It's like, I know you're all screwed up, but we've got to move on. So there will be times when we'll just have to compromise. But if you're talking about yourself, or you're working with someone one-on-one, and you're trying to figure something out, take the time to figure out why, of all movements, the squat should be one that you learn to do. The squat is such a primal movement. I mean, we are designed to shit in the squat position. We're literally designed to drop our ass down between our feet while the anus opens and drops your fecal matter out. That's the way we were designed. There were no toilet bowls when we were... Yeah, I mean, come on. There was no toilet bowls. There were no stalls. Like, you're running around chasing down a beast for dinner, and you're like, oh, hold on, I think there's a porta potty over here. It just didn't happen. You squat down, and you let it out. And if you couldn't do that, you'd probably end up shitting all over your leg. It was just, you wouldn't be functional. So that's a position that is just fundamental to being a human being. We've built fires in that position. We would get that. There are many cultures that still defecate in that position. They meet and speak with each other in that position. They gather around in circles in a squatting position and stay there for hours just talking and telling jokes and sharing stories and cooking and eating and stuff like that. And you'd be surprised that they could just stay that way because they are doing what they're designed to do. Today we all sit in chairs all day long, and we're not forced to get into the squat position. And we suffer tremendously for it. So it's definitely something that I would invite you to practice and to get better at if you are not able to do it.
He brought up a great point there. If you can't do it, that's basically a sign that you're fucked. You should be able to full squat.
All right. Well, next one is, I kind of want to go off the training for a second, because I know a lot of you guys have met, you and Jason and Elliot, you guys have mentors that you follow and look up to. Who outside of, like, who training mentors, who do you follow on a regular basis to keep up to date with what you're doing? But beyond that, I know a lot of Elliot stuff, but Jason, do you read, like, any personal development? Like, who do you, like, relate to or try to study? If you could go on that for a minute.
I like to read autobiographies of successful people, so I'm always doing that. I was always obsessed with Martin Luther King and Bob Marley, so I've read a ton of books on those kind of guys. As far as business goes, Dave Tate's been a huge inspiration, mentor, and big brother to me for years now. You know, unfortunately, life gets in the way, and we're all so busy that Dave and I don't get to see each other and hang out as much as we used to, but he was there for me a lot of times. And when I was down and out years ago, and he helped me in a lot of ways that some people will never know about, and I'll always be eternally grateful to him for that. I could go on and on about what Dave did for me and what Dave's friendship meant to me, but Alan Cosgrove's always been there for me in that way as well. And training wise, growing up, I used to believe it or not, I worshipped Arnold, so, read all of his stuff. And, now a lot of us say, the shit that Arnold did was stupid and, did too much volume, blah, blah, blah. But Arnold was a smart guy. He was a way smarter than people gave him credit for. He had, one of the most incredible work ethics of all time. So there's a lot to learn instead of just saying, he was just a big dumb bodybuilder who did body bar splits. He did a lot of shit right and achieved success that a lot of guys in that position didn't. So, what's funny is I'm going to say that and say that I got nowhere following Arnold's advice. It wasn't until I found Mike Mentzer and later Dorian Yates and that kind of stuff that I actually started making some progress. And then, of course, Louis Simmons, Bill Starr. I read Bill Starr's book years ago. And I was always a big fan of Bill Starr and all of his work. And my favorite training book of all time is The Keys to Progress by John McCallum, which made a huge, huge impact on me. Easily the best writer in the history of the Iron Game. So there's a lot of more that I can't really think of right now. But
as you can see, the trend for the people listening, you got to read a lot.
Yeah.
But Elliot, how about you? I know you read a ton of stuff, and I'm always interested in what you're reading. So we'll start with like just training books and kind of go from there.
Oh, sorry, what was that?
And just start with your favorite training books and go from there.
Favorite training books. I got to be completely honest here. I don't read that many training books. I just bought both of Martin Rui's Ultimate Fighting or like Warrior Workouts. I like I've got Jason's fighting book, like Fit for Fighting, and I think those are really cool because they always have like that the warrior story in there. And those type of books always make you feel like you're training for a purpose. So I really read those stories. Like Martin's is loaded with all types of great stories about the ancient martial arts and different parts of the world where they're using these exercises to build up warriors. It's the stories that really get me. So it's probably that, and that's probably the reason why I like Dan John's book and any like all his articles and stuff, because he's a storyteller. I enjoy reading it for entertainment. Really, the majority of what I've learned has been experiential. I've tried a lot of crazy shit from magazines, and I've read a lot of websites. Big part of my foundation is from Paul Cech. So I took a lot of his courses. I invested tens of thousands of dollars in Paul's videos and books and going to his certifications and courses. The guy really knows how to get you into his cult. And I was deeply embedded, and I'm very grateful for it because it gave me a solid foundation to be able to separate truth from reality when it comes to strength building and fitness and health. So besides that, I find mentorship in the strangest places. Well, not necessarily strange, but like where you wouldn't expect me to, because like, you know, a lot of strongmen come and train at my gym, and most of them are a lot younger than me. I mean, Pat and Mike, and those guys are like 19, 18 years old. But it's funny, I listen to what they have to say. I'm a strength coach, and I've got a big internet presence, and I've got my own gym. But when I see them doing stuff, and I'm wondering, like, what are you doing? How did you get that strong? Or where did you pick up that technique? It's like I'm learning from everybody. It's very interesting to learn from other coaches, but it's also very interesting to learn from people who are in the trenches, because their knowledge is experiential. You know, it doesn't come from a textbook. It doesn't come from a laboratory. It doesn't come from their university class. It comes from, oh, this wasn't working for me, so I tried this, and now it does work for me. And that's the type of root stuff that I enjoy, is seeing how, because strength and conditioning and everything in life is essentially an art. You know, there's an art and there's science to it, and you've got to play around. So what works for one person may not work for someone else. But you're always picking up little bits and pieces and adding to the painting that ultimately becomes your masterpiece. So using everyone and everything and asking questions continuously, always being a student of the game, allows me to continuously evolve even without reading textbooks or hard strength and conditioning books.
Before you go on about like I know you read a ton of personal development, stuff like that. For everybody on the line, the next 10 minutes, you guys can cast your votes on who you want to win tonight. It's probably going to be pretty close, but go ahead and you got 10 minutes to do that. So, go ahead, Elliot, back on where you're going.
Well, with regard to personal development, there really aren't that many contemporary personal development authors that I enjoy. I really enjoy reading like ancient wisdom literature. Probably the most contemporary thing that I read on a consistent basis is Ralph Waldo Emerson, who died in the 1903. So I love stuff like that, but reading like the Tao Te Ching and reading the Bible and reading just any the works of Osho, just really deep philosophical and religious information just gets me thinking, gets me all fired up, and help develop my foundational philosophy on life. So I enjoy reading that stuff. I mean, the most contemporary guys that I enjoy that are still alive today would be like Brian Tracy. His stuff is incredible. And Earl Nightingale is dead, but I really enjoy his stuff. That's really it. It's really like the classics. I think I'm like an old person trapped in a in a young body. It's like everything that I do is old school. So as far as personal development is concerned, if it was written in the 1900s, I'm not going to like it that much. But so that's where I get most of my ideas with regard to that.
And Jason, I know you probably get this a ton, but can you touch on how do you stay? You know, I've seen your pictures. I know you've gained and lost, you know, weight. You fluctuate, but you always do it on a vegetarian diet. Can you touch on how you get jacked as a vegetarian? Because I'm sure there's people out there that want to know.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've only been a vegetarian for the last few years. And can you do it? Yeah, you can do it. I wouldn't recommend it. It's a personal decision of mine, but I do not recommend it to skinny kids that come in. You're gonna have a better shot at getting jacked if you're eating red meat. Milk, absolutely not. I think dairy is the worst food you can eat. I don't recommend anyone eat dairy. I've seen a lot of people that used to get sick all the time or have respiratory infections. Any kind of respiratory issues, totally eliminate them just by getting rid of dairy. So, but meat, I think, is necessary for a skinny guy. Well, it's not necessary. I mean, if you choose, if it's your personal decision not to, you can do it. I just think it's going to be easier eating meat. If you're not going to do it, you're going to need to eat a lot of beans, lentils. You're going to need to supplement. If you're vegan, obviously no eggs. If you're not, probably going to need to get a dozen eggs down a day. A lot of good fats, healthy fats, nuts, seeds, avocado, coconut milk is great, olive oil, stuff like that. And then one of the issues is you have to eat a ton of carbs, so it becomes a little more difficult to stay lean. So I recommend, unfortunately, a necessary evil is you're going to have to supplement with protein shakes. And, you know, kind of keep your carbs earlier in the day and post-workout. But, again, it's my personal decision. I've been trying to regain weight that I lost through an injury. And I've had quite a while to kind of assess the situation now. And I do believe that I probably would have regained the weight faster if I was eating meat. I can't say that for sure because I have, you know, been pretty successful. But I think it probably would help, definitely. But, again, it's something I choose not to do.
Elliot, what's your? I know you love vegetarian stuff. So, what's your take on just basic nutrition for everybody on the call?
That's funny. It's funny that this was brought up today. I made a video earlier today. It's on my blog, HullStrength.com. I don't know if you could see, but I'm wearing a shirt with a big piece of steak on it that says "Eat Meat." And I really didn't even intend to put that on today, but I just had it at the gym. So. I got to be completely honest here with you. I'm intrigued by the idea. And Ryan, this is probably new to you because you've heard me rant on and on about vegetarians are out of their mind. But I've been evolving lately, and a lot of my ideas have changed. This is one of the things I told you, Ryan, that there's nothing wrong with changing. You're allowed to change your mind. And one of the things that I've been just a little bit more open to is the idea of eating less meat and putting more of an emphasis on vegetables in the diet. So, I don't know anything about vegetarianism. I love the Weston A. Price Foundation. I believe that we're designed to eat meat. But at the same time, I'm disgusted with the pollution that's in our food, in particular our meat. I mean, if you're talking about the way we were designed and what we're supposed to eat and the way we're supposed to be, the meat that we were eating came from happy, healthy, vibrant, vital animals living in the wild. And their energy was passed on to us through the nourishment in their flesh. Today, that's not the case. We're eating sick, sad, depressed, and polluted animals, and guess what? We're sick, sad, depressed, and polluted people. So that same energy through the lack of nutrients or even the negative energy that's being transferred through the food that we're eating is being passed on to us. And the animals are on drugs. We're on drugs. It's a sick, sad cycle. So the idea of vegetarianism is not so bad to me. And you get to a point, and obviously Jason has evolved to this point in life where building muscle isn't it's not what it's all about. You know, there's so much more to us than just this meat suit that we walk around in. And there's so many more aspects of your life that can be brought up to build your self-esteem and have you feel great about yourself besides having to to eat a ton of polluted food so that you can look a particular way on the beach, you know.
And I want to actually add to what he said about, because Ellie and I are big on doing things that your body's designed to do. And if you choose to eat meat, you have to realize that, like he said, obviously the quality of the meat was 100 times different back then. But you didn't eat meat 6 times a day like a typical bodybuilding diet. You might eat meat, I can't say for sure, but maybe 6 times a month when you got a kill, you know. You'd be walking around, you'd be picking your food most of the time, and you'd be lucky. You're not going to kill an animal 6 times a day like Jay Cutler and have a steak and egg 6 times a day. That's not normal. That's not healthy. So if you choose to eat meat, I think you need to make some sane decisions about, you know, how your body really was designed and evolved, and that would be eating meat maybe once a day, maybe a few times a week, you know, but definitely not 6 times a day. I mean, all that animal protein definitely is a bit excessive. I mean, you can read stuff that's convincing enough to never make you eat grains again. You could read the same kind of stuff that would make you never eat meat again, but nobody really can argue that you shouldn't eat more fruits and vegetables. So that's my main message is do that. I would recommend, if the ocean and the waters weren't so polluted, I think fish would be the ultimate source of protein.
Yeah.
Definitely healthier than meat, but that's an issue as well, the pollution, the mercury levels. A great book is The Enzyme Factor by Dr. Shinya. He talks about why fish is healthier than meat, because a fish has a lower body temperature than a human, so when the fat goes in, it dissolves, whereas a pig and a cow and a chicken have a higher body temperature, so the fat goes into your body and kind of solidifies, makes that more dangerous. Again, I'm not trying to force that on anyone, just sharing that. It's a great resource, good book to read. They'll kind of open your mind and decide for yourself.
Awesome. And Jason, for those on the line, you got 2 more minutes to put your votes in, so go ahead and do that. Hold that over for 2 more minutes. Last time we were on the phone, Jason, it wasn't too long ago when we did it, when you launched the Triple Threat program. But I always like to hear, have you had any new crazy workout stories since then, like that your athletes are doing in the gym, or just some obnoxiously feats of strength or shit-talking or anything that's entertaining that people like us like to listen to?
There's always shit-talking, crazy stuff going on. We had a great day not too long ago. Sean Hyacin, he's the fitness editor at Men's Fitness, so he comes in to train every Saturday, takes a train out from New York. Like Elliot was saying before, you got to be willing to travel, you know, to find a great gym if it's important to you. I actually have 4 or 5 guys that come out. It's 45 minutes away, come out from the city, train. But, yeah, we had a great day. John Hines was in, owner of Monkey Bar Gym, did a lot of fun stuff that day. Just really an unscripted day. We didn't really have anything planned, any workout plan. We kind of just decided what we were going to do. Sean was going for his PR on his squat, which is very impressive. He's lost 30 pounds of body fat over the last 12 weeks on the program we had him doing, and doing a
wow.
ton of sprinting and jumping rope and whatnot. Still improved his squat, set a new PR at 405, which was awesome. And then myself, today I took out 3 college athletes to do some hill sprints and challenged myself against guys 15 years younger than me, and was pretty sick to my stomach for about 4 hours afterwards. But, you know, you got to do that stuff, you know, to be alive, to be a man. You got to, you know, a lot of guys my age, 35 years old, would be sitting home, you know, watching the Yankees game, drinking a beer, and I'm out running hill sprints trying to beat 20-year-olds, and that's what you got to do, I think. I couldn't live my life any other way.
I read on your blog that John Hines bought a bike or bought something and rode it in flip-flops. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, he just showed up. We were at Yankee Stadium, and I called him. I said, "We're here. Where are you?" And he said, dude, I'll be there in a little while. I'm just biking and chilling." I said, "Biking and chilling? What the fuck are you talking about? The game's biking and chilling." And he just pulls up to Yankee Stadium on a bicycle and flip-flops and no shirt, and just bought a Jeter shirt from the street vendor. I said, "Dude, where the fuck did you get a bike?" And he said, "I just bought one this morning." I said, "But you live in Wisconsin." He said, "Yeah, no, I just figured I'd buy one." He's so out of his. He's great, though. I mean, he's just the most chill guy in the world, one of my favorite guys, and totally someone that I wish I could be more like, because that guy has no stress. No, he's just totally chill. But yeah, he hadn't touched a barbell in 15 years and was rack pulling 405 like it was 135. It was pretty pretty impressive.
I know I took his monkey bar start a couple years back. I think it was 3 or 4
years
ago. Yeah, and that was when I first got into the, you know, started to get into, you know, the industry and everything. And he made fun of me all weekend because I got stuck because I had no idea that Wisconsin was as big of a college town as it actually was.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of went out the first night and didn't sleep and just showed up smelling like alcohol the first day of my certification.
Right.
And he made fun of me all weekend, but he was just an awesome dude, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I ended up hanging out with him and some. I don't know if he's still dating the girl, but he was at the time. We had dinner on Sunday night, and it was really cool. But Elliot, I've always wondered, what was there any workout at strength camp that you just look back and you're like, why the hell did we do that, or how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, you know, while we're on the topic of getting drunk, I remember the day that I think it was Halloween. So I don't get out very often, and Ryan convinced me that we needed to go to Hooters, where on Halloween all the girls dress up in their Halloween outfits, and it's really like it's an exciting time. So we ought to go there, and it was like in the middle of the day. I guess it was like noon or something because they do this for lunch and they have a contest and stuff. So we go out there, and obviously, I mean, we were at Hooters, so we're pounding pitchers in the middle of the day. And we're like, fuck, we got to get back to the gym and train because, you know, it was a training day. So we're sitting there and trying to figure out what we're going to do. And we're like, let's load up the farmer's bars. I think we probably put, like, 135 on each or something like that and walk it to the stop sign and back. And for those of you who don't know, my gym is on a dead end, on a long dead end, at the end of the dead end, and there's a stop sign down there. So whenever, like, I write on the board to the stop sign back, everybody goes, oh, because they know it's a long freaking trek. So, yeah, so two drunk dudes decided to go back to the gym and pick up the farmer's bars and travel down to the stop sign and back, and that was pretty brutal. I mean, I think that was it. The workout was done. After that, it didn't take any more than about 10 minutes. So that was pretty rough.
And I know we've had some killer workout. For me lately, it's been the prowler, the 11 sets with one. I don't even know how much it is. 45 on each side, which kills us.
Yeah, well, I swear to God. So there are only certain kind of, like certain workouts I can do. So Ryan he's funny. He'll do whatever I do when I go to the gym just so we can train together. And I can only train. There are only a couple things I can do. And so we've been doing prowler like 3 times a week. So he comes in, he's like, oh, man, prowler again? So we've been doing, like, heavy sets of long-distance, short rest interval prowlers and just, like, trying to force ourselves to pass out, laying on the cement under the tree because the rest of the cement is burning hot in the middle of the day when we do it. So those have been some pretty tough workouts.
Definitely. All right. Yeah, let me tally up the votes here. I know this is going to be tuned for some shit talking, I'm sure, whoever wins on this one. Let's see what we got. Uh-oh. Elliot, you're going to be depressed.
Oh.
47 to 36.
Wow. That, I'm that. Actually happy. I came within 10 of the Ferrugia.
So you
the guy that revealed
tonight.
The muscle-building secret. So that's not too bad.
It's not too bad. For everybody listening on the call, I know there will be a 24-hour replay of this call. I don't know. Most of you on the call have already heard it. But if you do want to purchase it, you can get this call and all the other deathmatch calls I've done, which is quite a few now. This is turning into be a very large product, and it's more of a info, not so much program, but if you're really into strength and conditioning and you like listening, all the guys that have done it so far, I've had Elliot, it's the second time Elliot's been on. The first time he did it against Zach Evanesh, and he did beat Zach pretty bad, so that was cool. Zach was mad. I've had Nick Nilsson versus Jeff Anderson. I've had AJ Roberts versus the legendary Dan John, which, you know, poor Dan, he didn't have anybody on the call, so he had Vince Del Monte versus Nick Nilsson, and I have to get both of them back on for another call eventually, but they've just been busy. We have, and now this one was Ferrugia versus Elliot. You're also going to get Zach doing a bonus. He gave me the Grip Experts ebook. He also gave an audio interview he did with an author, Jonathan Fields,
more on mindset and motivation. Elliot gave a huge bonus, like over an hour's worth of video, I think, on program design, muscle imbalances, and attitude. Jeff Anderson gave a 30-minute audio about mass gaining. Nick Nilsson gave an e-book of 77 ab exercises you've never heard of. I threw in a muscle-building motivational video of all, which is all kinds of really hardcore YouTube videos. I think they're all bruges. But you can get all this for $47, and as soon as the deathmatch is over, when I decide to stop interviewing people, which is going to be soon, it's going to go up to 97. So if you want to get that, it's $47. And you can get that below this interview, or I'll email about it 12 times. But Jason and Elliot, I just want to thank you guys for being on the call. Do you guys have any? Jason, go ahead and announce your sites for everybody. I know you got a couple of them now.
Yeah. Main site is my blog, jasonferrugia.com, which is really hard to spell. So renegadefitness.com or renegadestrengthcoach.com, both redirect there. They'll take you there. And then you can pretty much access everything off of there, all my products and whatnot.
Awesome. Elliot, you got a couple. Which ones do you want
to? Well, same like Jay. If you're interested in the weird crap that I like to talk about and that interests me, there's a ton of my manic rants on HulseStrength.com, which is just my last name, with strength at the end, .com. So, yeah, whatever, that's like my portal. So whatever you're interested in, you can find right there.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, just want to thank everybody again for being on the call. We're going to end it there. It's been a little over an hour, so don't want to hold these guys up much longer. But once again, you can get the whole product for $47. And that's about it. Jason, if you want to stay on the line for a quick sec, that'd be cool. And thanks a lot, guys. You guys still on the call?